The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Welcome in on the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. My guy Hoodie, have a great vacay. Hoodie's on vacation. Connor McKnight is in Hoodie's spot. We've got Shay, we've got Jake, and we are ready to rock and roll until 10 a.m. Connor, good morning. How are you, Sparky?
What up, Cap? Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Where's Hoodie vacationing on this in this fine late October? What's the vacation plans? How much can you share?
Indiana Dunes.
Oh, the Dunes. That's good stuff. I assume because he's a big fan of the movie Dune, right? And the book, the Frank Herbert book, Dune, that's got to be why he's there.
I think that's why he's there. I just know Indiana Dunes. I think they had a special, there's some kind of an igloo thing for the holidays coming up. And so he and his wife rented an igloo.
An igloo in the Dunes?
Yeah.
Is it a sand igloo?
I don't know. He didn't share.
Well, we're going to have to find out. I really want it to be a sand igloo for the Hoods. That'd be really cool.
So, yeah, Indiana Dunes for the Hoods. So he'll be back next week. So enjoy your time, my man. So, Connor, I want to ask you a question. Monday night, Bears beat a lousy Patriots team. Shea kept telling us. We're in our meetings every day. He's a huge Patriots fan. They're not who you think they are. And then they go out and pound Cleveland. Thanks, Shea. I played Cleveland that week, and I kept playing different teams. Okay, Shay, yeah, uh-huh. They just beat another one. They shut out the Lions 26-0. Yeah, they're not very good. They were awful. They were awful. So here's the question for the class. 312-332-3776. What did Monday night's win prove to you about the future of the Bears? Did we learn anything? That's probably a dead last team in that division. Buffalo's running away and hiding. The Jets are good. The Dolphins are good. So the Patriots probably finish dead freaking last. What did we learn? I learned that I was validated because I've always been a Justin Fields guy, that this kid has a chance to be the franchise quarterback we have so long lusted for. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's the first thing that anybody needs to be, you know, convinced of, right? Is that Justin Fields can be that guy. I think the other thing, though, Cap, and I think this is maybe the biggest topic of conversation, or maybe the first time this Bears season that we'll get to go, okay, not everything has to be a referendum on Justin Fields. You don't have to spend all of this time. I mean, the rest of the season, sure. But at least for a couple of days, we get to go, hey, look, Matt Eberflus might not be terrible at his job. And hey, look, Ryan Poles might have picked a couple of players that know what they're doing and have a future in this game. I think any time that you share, you know, the bro hug with Bill Belichick at the end of the game, that was that was meaningful, right? I mean, they spent, Eberflus and Belichick spent some time, you know, hugging it out there at the end. That to me means respect. And that, to me, means a lot of people who were probably firing on this Bears coaching staff, whether it be Eberflus or whether it be Getsy or it be the front office or whether it be even, you know, Justin Fields himself, like, they earned their bona fides last night, at least a little bit. They earned some shade, at least, to kind of rest under for a couple of weeks.
So, yeah, I look at it. I take a much more macro rather than micro look. you know, Shea is the guy who will react each week, almost on a daily basis. What did we learn today? Is it, okay, this team's no good anymore. If they get blown out by Dallas, he'll have an interesting question for us when we come into our meeting on Monday. Whether they get blown out by Dallas, whether they beat a bad Patriots team, I believe in the quarterback. I think there are a handful of players that I really like going forward. Brisker and Kyler Gordon. And they have a Tevin Jenkins has a chance to be a really good player. They are talent deficient. They have two first-round picks on their roster. That's it. Justin and Roquan Smith. The Jets, conversely, finally turning things around. They have 14 number one picks on their roster. Add in second rounders. They've got 19 first and second rounders on their roster. That's why they're starting to turn things around. I want us to get in that position. So what did I learn? I learned that our coach is pretty talented. He used the mini bye to self-reflect and go, we got to play more like the Ravens, man. We don't have the talent to be able to have him back there, process, read one, read two, read three. I'm going back here. That's not who we are right now. We can't protect that kid like that. We don't have receivers that get separation like that. So I was very impressed with the game plan. I thought Luke Getsy did a great job. I thought the defense was flying around. So there were things that I really, really liked. But about the long-term future, we're talent deficient. About the short-term future, we're not that good.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, though, you know, using the mini bye to go ahead and, like, re-scout your team and take a look at where the Patriots are bad and take advantage of some of those things, that's bottom-line coaching in the NFL, isn't it? Like, don't you expect any, like, replacement coach to go through those kinds of things? Like, that is what you have to do. And in terms of, like, looking at this from a week-to-week basis, every other year a coach gets fired after one season, or every almost 2 years a coach gets fired after one season? This is a what have you done for me lately kind of league. And if you, I don't know, like, if there's this whole conversation around whether or not the Bears, having run the ball as well as they did against the Patriots, is a sustainable change to this offense, or is something that gets you where you want to go. And it might on a week-to-week basis, but I don't think the how, like how this team wins is as, I'm with you on this. I don't think the how this team wins is really as important as the how it gets Justin Fields in a position to not just, you know, live through every game, but also thrive in the NFL. And last Monday night, or this, you know, a couple of nights ago, that was step number one. That was really the only time this coaching staff, this front office, this iteration of Justin Fields Bears has gotten him to a point where he looks good enough to succeed in the NFL, or like a sustainable way. And I think you're right. Like, there's nobody to help him right now. There's just not enough to help him right now, which is why he's got to use, you know, his left leg and right leg to help him out of situations. And that might be scary for some. It is for me, at least a little bit. But I, you know, what it proves to you is that they've got a chance after 8 weeks to make some changes. But shouldn't that be expected of every coaching staff? I'm not sold on Matt Eberflus because he was able to change this around. I am sold a little bit on Justin Fields and his ability to turn things.
Yeah, and again, I need to see my quarterback to know long-term that it's going to work, be able to stand in the pocket, process, read, and make throws. I haven't seen that yet, and that's not being overly critical, that's telling the truth. But we also can't protect them. So if we're trying to win games right now, however we got to do it, that's what they tried to do on Monday night.
Well, and that's where, you know, some of the questions I have about the Bears long term, right? Like, Velus Jones, I mean, did he see the field on Monday night?
13 snaps, no touches.
13 snaps. And he can't, you know, return punts anymore. Like, that's just that can't happen. That's got to stop. I thought, you know, some of the players on the offensive, you know, Tevin Jenkins had a nice night. Larry Borum did not. Braxton Jones, we'll see. You lost Lucas Patrick yet again. And those are guys that this front office identified as the best ways to help Justin Fields, right? That's why they took them. Because you have to have a functioning offense in order to go somewhere in this NFL or at least keep Justin Fields alive and evaluate him. Those things are still failing, right? I mean, the best players on the field on Monday night offensively for the Bears were two running backs, Justin Fields, and Cole Kmet had a really nice night, right? I mean,
you're
none of those guys.
Offensively.
Yeah, just offensively.
Yeah.
Just offensively. Because defense is like, I would rather build a team. I don't know where you sit on this, but I would rather build a team the way the Kansas City Chiefs had. And I know that's easier said than done. Build me an offense first. Let me go score 45 points a game. I'll fill in the defensive parts once I figure out what parts I have to have offensively. That's sustainable in this league. Defense isn't. And while it's cool that Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon play well,
I completely disagree with you. Defense is sustainable.
That's not what the numbers say. Turnovers aren't sustainable. You can't go from 36 to 6 in a season.
You
like, it's just not there.
Defense is sustainable. Turnovers takeaways might not.
Yeah, they win, but like defenses are predicated and you met maybe Matt Eberflus's isn't so much, but like we saw what happened from that 18 season to that 19 season when you're counting on 36 takeaways to turn into whatever it was, 60-something points.
Takeaways is not sustainable. Defense is.
Right.
If you go back when the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, they got their head kicked in because the defense beat their ass. They got Patrick Mahomes.
But you're changing things around. Like, I'm not saying defense doesn't matter. I'm just talking about when you start to build a team – find me that quarterback first. Find me the weapons he wants to work with after that, like 1A, 1B, and then I'll start to put a defense together. That's not the way this regime went. I think it's got a lot of Bears fans kind of looking at this team going, okay,
and I completely,
does this fit in the modern NFL?
Yeah, I think it does, and I agree with the way they did it. No, I don't. You have to build an NFL team, offensive line, defensive line, cover corners. Yeah, you want skill position players too and a quarterback. But unless the generational player is there for me to take at the top of the draft, I'm building my, like Jim Fink said, you get me tackles, you go get me defensive tackles and defensive ends that put the quarterback on their ass. That's how you build a football team.
Right, and that's one of the first things the Chiefs did. They reworked that whole offensive line. I think it was after that first run to the playoffs with Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, he had turnstiles up the middle, and then they reworked that whole offensive line while trying to change a few things on the defense from that year to the next, and then they went places, and then they had a lot more success. I think offensive line matters in this league, and it's why...
Offensive line is the number one most important thing other than having... a franchise amazing quarterback. And the Chiefs
had
a lot of those pieces, then traded up to go get the quarterback.
Sure, but that offensive line needed revamping after Mahomes was there. That's what more than anything else, like sure, they could have spent more on receivers and whatnot, but if you can't protect it, you can't hit it. That's first and foremost. So Lucas Patrick being your offseason signee, like I don't know, man. Like that's just not enough for me. And I think getting what they did out of this offense against a Patriots D who had guys breathing down Justin's neck all night long, that was the most impressive part to me, is that they were able to scheme away for this offense, as broken as it is, to put up, almost 40 points against the Patriots team in New England. That was huge.
All right, 312-332-3776. What did Monday night's win prove to you about the future of the Bears? My honest opinion... they beat an awful football team, but I have even more hope for the quarterback I've believed in since the day we drafted him. They beat a bad team. I'm not sure it proved anything yet, except our quarterback is really talented. 312-332-3776. Connor's in for Hoodie. I'm Cap. Light him up. Be right back.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
the Bear fan about the future of this year's Bears. I take a more long-term approach. I still believe Justin's the guy. I do. We just don't have much talent on the offensive side of the ball, especially. Beat a bad team, but Justin showed he can be that guy. 312-332-3776. Jim's on the northwest side. Connor's in for Hoodie. Here we go. Jim, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning. Love the show.
Thanks, man.
By the way, Kev, big fan of the football after show.
Oh, appreciate
love,
you.
Love Alex Brown, love Briggs, love Wonsett. You guys have a great show. And my favorite game is Who You Got. So
you're,
move on from that.
You're the man.
Big fan.
Thanks.
My whole thought is, you know, the Patriots, I know there's this vaulted team that everybody looks at as this iconic franchise, but candidly, their quarterback is in his second year. He was injured. He was coming off an injury. He was rusty. They pull him in for a few series, pull him out, bring in Zappe for a couple of series. He starts struggling. I think we won one game. That's it. This is the game. Let's not overhype it. I think it looked good. I was glad to see it. I was glad to see we did some play action. But outside of that, it's one game. And let's not lose focus on, we've got a long road ahead. If we're this good of a team this early, Eberflus is the greatest coach I've ever seen.
Have a great day, Jim. Appreciate you.
You too. Thank
you. See you, bud. 312-332-3776. Connor, when you watched the game, going into it, did you give the Bears any chance? Because Shea did. Now, Shea didn't say they're going to win the game outright, but he certainly was all over taking the points. I did not think they were going to win the game.
No, first, Shea sounds like my kind of football fan. I mean, you know me, Cap, and Shea, we've only just met here, but you know, I'm a Wisconsin guy, went to Wisconsin. I turn that team on, and I assume we're going to lose by 45, 55 points. I'm like that self-defeating, I hate my team, but I'm a fan kind of guy.
Yep.
No, I didn't give him any chance. I didn't give him any chance at all. No, of course not. I thought they'd lose by 55 points. I thought they'd lose by 1,000 points. Of course they didn't. I thought Bailey Zappe would come in at some point in the second quarter and light their ass up. No, of course not. I don't think, though, that just because of the counterpunch that they were able to find with Getsy and Fields and the design runs and all that other kind of stuff, that's how you beat the Patriots this week. I don't think that's how you go anoint Matt Eberflus as the greatest coach of all time, though, like the caller said. I think there's some space in between this, right? I don't believe that while this did what it did, while this win looks the way it did and feels like it feels, I think there's a lot more for this coaching staff and this front office to prove to me that they have the reins here. Because I don't know about you, Cap, but I look at Justin as a different thing, right? Justin was drafted by another regime. Justin is the chance that you get to be a transcendent for an offense that works in this NFL, to say nothing of like a transcendent kind of team. That's what matters most. This other stuff also matters quite a bit, but Justin's first.
Yeah, Justin is first, no question, because otherwise, if the Bears were playing, I don't know, Nick Foles was the quarterback. We'd be like, just lose enough games and let's find out who we're drafting, please.
No kidding.
But the fact that we have a high-level talent at the position who has to be molded and refined, and you've got to run a system that fits what he does, and I thought they did that on Monday. Now it's wherever they're picking. Who's the best left tackle? Who's the best player on your board is always my philosophy. But I would assume it'll be a left tackle. It will be a wide receiver or a rush edge or a D tackle. One of those four things is what I think, because we have holes everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you said something that I thought was interesting. You said that the offensive approach, that the kind of the game plan against the Pats was because it was what Justin can do. I kind of thought, and maybe it's two things at once, I kind of thought it was what they need to do for Justin because they've got nothing around him and they're playing this Patriots team. You know, like, isn't there a difference between the two?
I think they self-reflected at the mini bye and went, okay.
Right.
Our receivers are not getting enough separation because they're not very good players. They're just being honest with themselves. If we drop this kid back, he's got PTSD because he gets hit 46.8% of the times that he drops back. So we can't have him stand in the pocket, go through his reads, because he looks and goes, am I going to get hit? Oh, I don't have anybody open. Then he tucks it, runs, and he gets drilled. They said, we're going to go design quarterback run, do what is best for Justin, let him make some throws on the move, let him use his incredible speed and athleticism and size. This dude's 6'3", 228. He's not like Rex Grossman, a little guy. He is not Johnny Manziel out there. This is a big dude. So I think that's why they pared back the game plan and said, we're going to play more like the Ravens. We're going to do what they do with Lamar till we get him some more talent here.
Yeah, well, and I think, too, like, you're not running, you know, power, QB power stuff, right? You're getting him outside. You're letting him in a lot of those situations kind of choose his running lanes. And at least, you know, if he's got to take a hit, hopefully that's by a slot corner or somebody on the outside and not one of the big dudes that's really going to hurt you. I liked the way they were able to change that up and do it going forward. I don't know if it's something they can win with down the road in this season. Whether that matters or not is another question altogether. But, like, I do think that, you know, finally adapting to the offense they don't have, the players they don't have, was an important step for them. I think though, what this means is it's on Justin to take that next step, you know, to make that counterpunch and be a little bit more, of a downfield playmaker when he can, you know, if he can against the Cowboys. I think this coming game, though, you know, you may see everything evaporate, and I'm going to go, yeah, it doesn't matter. Michael Parsons is Michael Parsons. What were you going to do? You don't have Lucas Patrick. If they don't have Lucas Patrick, this, you know what I mean? Like, this could all go away, and we're going to have to shrug our shoulders and go, there was no way this offense was going to look like anything given that defense.
Go to Jerry on I-80. Hey, Jerry, what's up, Sparkles?
Well, I think that Fields better be the guy, because we really don't have we haven't had an offensive line for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And right now we're going to the run because he really doesn't have much time to do anything back there. It's really disgusting because I don't understand why our new GM said he's going to go out and get linemen, and we didn't even do anything in free agency. I just don't get the attack.
Well, they did not have the financial wherewithal, in his opinion, not mine, his opinion, to spend at the top of the market to go get Terron Armstead or one of the top linemen. So he sticks to his guns that he is handling this the right way. They're tearing it down. They did not add because they do not believe this team was good enough to win with. That's why there's no Allen Robinson, no Khalil Mack, no Akeem Hicks, and no replacements for those guys. That's why.
Well, that's true. That's fine and everything. But let's get somebody at left tackle to protect this guy. I mean, we're playing with a makeshift line.
Agreed.
12 to 15 years of no offensive line. I mean, mm-hmm. We draft a guy like Trubisky, don't play to his strengths, and he gets knocked around. Cutler got knocked around. It's an incredible approach. Why won't we get a line that could both pass and run block? I just don't get it.
Because you couldn't do it this year, but I agree with you. That's what, and thanks for the call, Jerry. Have a great day, man. That's what I was saying to Connor. You win by building an offensive line. You win by building a defensive line. I've asked all these guys that I work with on TV or people we get to interview who played in the league. You win by, A, run the football. B, stop the run. It sets everything else up. Period.
What? This is a thin. I think Jerry's right to point out what the cost here is of Ryan Poles' approach, right, Cap? Like, this is a thin line to walk. I'm all for tearing it down to the studs. This whole thing was bad. There's a lot of dead cap money, all that kind of stuff. I get it. But the cost is potentially ruining a franchise quarterback, right? I mean, the cost is you do too much damage to Justin Fields. He can't be the guy you need him to be, so then you're drafting another quarterback and you're doing this all over again, that's a really high cost. That's a really high cost, especially when the difference isn't like, you know, you mentioned Taron Armstead, right? You could have gone to that, you know, that second shelf at the O-line supermarket and shopped from there,
no
right?
Doubt.
You could have gone with the off-brand Cheerios and made yourself just a little bit better on the offensive line. I was nervous about that from the get-go, and I think you were too, and I think that's where a lot of Bears fans look. Okay, did it have to be this dangerous for Justin Fields? We get not signing, you know, wide receiver number one and not going out and getting, you know, whatever. There's a difference between the top of the marketplace and at least, you know, some Roundy's brand cottage cheese that you know is going to stay shelf stable for a couple of days in the fridge, right?
Yeah. And again, they let James Daniels walk, chose really not to replace him. They got Lucas Patrick on a bargain basement deal, $8 million for 2 years. That's not shopping at the top of the shelf. That's not even shopping at, oh, that's like a day-old bread. That was like 4-day-old bread, and he hasn't played very well. And now he's hurt again. They need to go fix this offensive line, or you're whizzing in the wind, period. 312-332-3776. Bears and Cowboys on Sunday, but what did Monday night's win prove to you about the future of the Bears? Phone lines are hopping. We'll get to more of your calls. Connor's in for Hoodie. I'm Cap. This is Cap J Hoodie ESPN.
Cap J Hoodie.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Bopping to the music in there, Shay. Got some good music rocking this morning.
Yeah, it's not bad. It always reminds me of Christmas, though. It sounds like a holiday song at the start.
It's the greatest. Bruce.
It is. It does.
It's the best.
Bruce does some good best. Christmas music, right? Bruce has a couple of Merry Christmas, Baby, right? He's going to Santa get him down the chair. It's pretty good.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Best.
Oh, there's that one, too? Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, I'm a huge Bruce guy. Going to see him next year. I can't wait.
Where are you seeing him?
Paris.
Oh, come on.
Honest to God. We have tickets.
No!
Get this. We bought a trip to go like bike riding in Paris, or in France, I should say, before the pandemic. Never got our money back. Never.
Okay.
It's been now 3 years. It'll be 3 years this spring. We were supposed to go July of 20. Canceled. Out. And we got an email. You still have this credit here that we owe you to France. I got the airline tickets, and I got the credit for the hotel. All of it. It's all paid for already. And I have a neighbor who's on this charity board that works with the Teach Rock Foundation. He's like, dude, we're big with Bruce. I can help you buy tickets to the concert. And so I bought two tickets to the concert. I'm looking at the list, and it's like Milwaukee. I've been there.
Yeah.
Nice city. Been there.
Fine town.
Not Chicago yet. Let's see. Where else? Minneapolis. No, I went to college up in the Twins. I'm good. Whoa, Amsterdam. And it's on Mother's Day weekend, and I'm like, nah, I can't do that. We're not going to go. My wife and I are going to leave, and our kids won't be with Mindy? No, not going to happen. So
what? Take Mother's Day for you. Mother's Day is a day for Mindy. If she wanted to see Bruce in Amsterdam.
Mindy doesn't like Bruce.
There's the spin.
Mindy doesn't like Bruce. Like, she'll go and have a good time, but she's not a Bruce fan. You got to be either a sports writer, you got to, you know, somewhere in the media to kind of like Bruce. That's the way.
You have to be a very disheveled baseball writer to like Bruce Springsteen. It comes with your Baseball Writers of America card.
Yes.
You also get a Bruce album. You get it printed.
Right.
I will say it's funny. It's very on brand for you, Cap, because I think the radio morning show guy, the Bruce bumps always. Like the radio morning show guy is always the Bruce Springsteen guy.
Yeah. So, like, when I went to see him at Wrigley, it was so awesome. I'm like, whoa, Tom Thibodeau. Whoa, Chris Sale. Like, Pat Riley. all these dudes flew into Chicago to see Bruce at Wrigley. Iconic stadium, great performer, all of that. So this guy said, two tickets, I can buy them. Bought two tickets, cashed in my free trip, and we're going to Paris next, I think it's late April, first week of May.
Paris in spring. That's awesome. So will you do the bike ride? Are you going to be doing the bike ride thing, like a tandem bike, you and Mindy?
So it's not a tandem bike, but you bike ride to different wineries. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Really cool.
Do you have to bike on the other side of the road in Paris? Is that one of those towns?
I don't know that, but that's a great question.
So you're going to be like four or five wines deep biking on the wrong side of the road and not on a tandem. You guys are going to get split up. She's going to be at like the Louvre and you're going to be at Bruce and you guys are going to take like 3 days to get back together. It's going to be like a rom-com.
Correct.
You guys are going to be like an actual rom-com.
Right. Right. Because I, as Waddle nicknamed me, one can Dan, like two glasses of wine and I will fall off my bike. I have the worst tolerance for alcohol. Yes.
That's going to be good.
Like I was sitting like... I could say this because I am Jewish. Jewish guys aren't great at drinking. We're just not. We're just not.
Ooh, and really? I've met the guys that are, Sylvie, unfortunately.
I'm at a wedding the other night with Sylvie. Congrats to Andy Mazur and his wife, Melina. And Sylvie's sitting right next to me. Dude, that guy can put it down now. Sylvie can put it down. My wife's like Dean Martin. She can drink. And there's Sylvie right there.
Maybe it's
That's
just
impressive.
You.
Yeah, I'm just weak.
Maybe it's just you. You have a weak constitution.
I have a weak constitution when it comes to alcohol. Yes.
You never had the tolerance? You know, like not even in college? You hadn't built that up? You hadn't done a Thursday to Sunday morning?
I had, but I mean, I just wasn't very good at it.
I got you.
Just not.
I got you. Well, don't, you know, that's not on you, man. You know, we're all born with different, I wouldn't, you know, don't hold that, you know, just enjoy yourself. You're a cheap date. That's a good thing.
That's it. I'm easy, man.
I'd rather be a lightweight. Takes less money to spend. Boom, you're done.
What do you weigh, 130?
Not even, Cap.
Okay, so like one drink and you're
113. No, not one drink, but...
How much do you weigh?
113.
Who weighs 113 pounds? Do you realize, before I went on soda, I was 100 pounds heavier than you.
Have you lost half a can, too?
I've lost almost 32.
Okay, so like one third Cantu.
Yeah, about a quarter Cantu.
Yeah. A quarter Cantu. That's right. It's a quarter. My math was bad. You're right.
And last week was my wife's birthday, so I bought her a chocolate chip cookie cake. I had never had one. And so I called Scoops and Cookies in Deerfield, ordered it up, got her favorite ice cream. Bad. I don't like coffee ice cream. She does. It's her birthday. Got her the coffee chocolate chip cookie cake. She has a nice little slice. The rest of it's sitting there. I've been on soda locked in. I ate the rest of the whole thing. Yes. Yes.
You just let it rip. That's fantastic.
Oh, my God. Friday night, I came home. I was stressed, and I don't ever feel stressed. And I had a glass of wine, ate dinner, and started on the cookie. And then Saturday, Mindy goes, do you know what happened to my cookie? I'm like, bread had a little piece. She's like, how big a piece? I'm like, small. Well, where's the rest of it? And I started laughing. She's like, oh. And I weighed in. I gained two tenths of a pound. That's it.
Is that what the stress was? Did you eat because you were stressed and become more stressed because you had put on 2/10 of a pound?
I didn't get more stressed because of the weight. I was stressed about something else.
What was the stress? Let's talk through this. Was it a bad over-under that you'd had? Was it a tough day at the TV station? Are you okay? Are you done with the stress?
I'm not going to go there.
Okay,
it was work related. Let me put it.
Okay,
that way.
All right. I hear you. We've all been there. You gotta. Sometimes the best companion for stress is a slightly warm spoon and about a gallon and a half of ice cream. That's the way.
Yeah, I went chocolate chip cookie cake, and it was my wife's birthday cake. So
there you go. Regret nothing.
Crushed it. Went right back to soda. I'm good. Weighed in this morning. I actually am down 0.2 of a pound.
See?
Crazy.
State of the art.
State of the art. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Noel on the south side. Noel, what's up, Sparkles?
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing, man?
How you doing?
Yes, I'm happy my best won, but I'm mad at the national media. Instead of saying what the Bears did right. Everybody keeps saying what the Patriots did wrong. Everything's about the Patriots, Zappi and Mac Jones and Bill Belichick. I mean, when would the Bears get some respect around here?
They're getting respect from Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman, I thought, was very respectful. I thought the Mannings were... I don't watch the Manning cast. I'm more of a traditional broadcast guy. And we were watching the game at TV, so we didn't have the Manning cast on because I had the Bulls on the other TV. But I thought, I don't know, Connor, if you paid any attention to it, I thought that from what I've read and heard, the Manning cast people were very complimentary of the Bears.
They were. You know, I've seen snippets. I did not watch that one live. I watched the Troy and Joe Buck show. What I did do, though, did you stay through that to Scott Van Pelt on ESPN?
No, I was doing the whole transition? Football after show on TV. I couldn't.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you've got responsibilities. So what I thought was – I don't have any of those. It's great. What I thought was interesting is they do the transition, right, like they always do. Van Pelt starts his show, and he throws to the first break, and the tease is stay with us, you know, because Troy and Joe will be back, you know, then you kind of recap the game a little bit, the three of them. And I really like Scott Van Pelt, always have. I think he's a really good show host. Now, at the same time, I thought what was evident is at the three of them got started talking about that game, the low-hanging fruit, the really easy stuff is, you know, Patriots quarterback controversy, right? And yet, Van Pelt and Troy and Buck all worked really hard in that first little bit to talk instead about the success the Bears had, what Justin Fields looked like, and how that offense was able to do what they did against the Patriots. Then they went to the Patriots quarterback controversy thing. And I thought that was – I was watching it to see what that national media kind of first look would sound like. And I thought it was really focused on the Bears. It really took its time to kind of talk about what that team did and not what the losing team did instead.
Yeah, and again, I thought Bill Belichick was awesome. Eberflus won't say what he told him. He said that's personal, but he said he was very complimentary of what we're doing. And then he told the New England media, Belichick, how impressed he was, how they played before the game and after. So, all right. We'll get to more of your calls because the phone lines have been hot. What did you learn, if anything, about the Bears win and about the Bears team on Monday night? Cowboys coming up 9.5 or 10. We're at Penn's Where You Shop. That's the point spread. The Bears are massive underdogs again. More of your calls on the Bears on the Cap J Hood Show. Hoodie's on vacay in the Indiana Dunes. Have a great time, my man. Be right back.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Hoodie's on vacay in Indiana Dunes. Connor McKnight is in. Shay is the executive producer of the Fun Fest. Jake Cantu, all 113 pounds of him dripping wet, is at the controls, and the phone lines are hopping as we ask you this question. Did you learn anything about the Bears on Monday night? Are you more on board with Justin? Shay was anti-Justin, not a Justin fan. Not that he was a hater, just didn't think he was that good. Now, all of a sudden, little Shay's eyes have opened up.
I shouldn't say I was anti-Justin. I will say I didn't like what I was seeing from him because I didn't like the offense they were calling for him. And then they looked in the mirror. I told you Friday, all I wanted to see, or Monday morning, rather, all I wanted to see from the Bears against the Patriots was you self-scout a little bit, you make some adjustments, you change the way you're calling some plays, and you do things for your quarterback instead of trying to run the Green Bay offense and drop him back in the pocket, do things he's not good at. And what did they do? They stole some plays from Greg Roman's playbook. They took some Ravens stuff, got designed runs for Fields, put him in advantageous positions, and he looked pretty good for the most part. Ball security's got to get better, but for the most part, he looked good.
That's, you know, I'm sure you guys have talked about this. It's nine fumbles for Justin Fields right now?
Yeah.
How
many fumbles were there in the game and all went either out of bounds or to the Bears?
There were six fumbles and the Bears got all of them.
Unbelievable.
Right?
That is not sustainable. That is not a thing that keeps on happening.
Like the one where he rolled out to his left and nobody touched him and the ball flew out of his grasp.
Yeah, the one where he hits it on his knee, right? He's like carrying it back through in like your classic quarterback football camp. You know, this is how you hold the ball, but he hits it on his knee and it pops out and it pops right back up into his hands.
Yeah.
Justin Fields needs to be the guy, right? I mean, for all of our sanity, it would be great if Justin's the guy.
Okay, but how about the one where
How
about the one where he rolled toward the sideline and got sacked instead of throwing the ball out of bounds, which would be an incomplete pass, no grounding, you're outside the tackle box. He gets sacked and he fumbles and the ball rolls out of bounds.
Those are the things, man. Those as
had that
as
been Mitch
fun,
Connor, everyone would have gone, idiot, what are you doing?
And that's true. It's true. Had it been Mitch in year two or even three, you know, at that point you're going, oh my God, this has to. And I think it's fair to give the kid a little bit more time, to give Fields a little bit more time to figure that stuff out. But it's things like ball security, especially from the quarterback, who every single play, he's going to touch the football. It's got to be there, and you would expect that to be better given how many downs he played in college, given the quarterback, the system he went through. That just needs to be better. You cannot have that out there the way it has been. You just can't.
Let's go back to the phones. Our guy, Space. Okay, Space. What's up? What's your idea?
Cap Connor, what's up, fellas? How y'all feeling?
How are you, man?
I'm good, good. Can't complain, man. You know, you guys are spot on. I had to think about it, and I went and tried to do a little research. Maybe you guys can. I don't remember too many times to where the Bears have scored 35 points on offense. I remember us scoring points under Lovie Smith, but it was always a defensive touchdown, a special team touchdown, not all from the offense. So what this game showed me was Eberflus and Getsky can probably scheme. They can probably actually call good plays to where you could put your players in the best position to succeed. You know, I haven't, just as a Bears fan, I haven't seen that. And this was all done from the offense. The defense played well. We caused some turnovers, but the scoring was all offensively driven. So that was very encouraging for me. You know, that's, the Bears are normally a 16, 17 point, you know, max type of team. But we actually put up numbers and we drove the ball whenever we had it. Even if we just took the three, we drove the ball. So that's encouraging as a Bears fan. We actually might have a regime in there that can call the right plays, that can actually look at the defense and actually, you know, scheme people open. That was just real encouraging as a Bears fan. So can't wait to see how we do against this good Dallas front, good Dallas defense.
Dallas is a really good team, and appreciate the call, Space. Have a great day. Connor, they just had on GetUp, Dallas is 23% to win the NFC and go to the Super Bowl.
23%? That feels that feels about right. That's probably as complete. I have to look around the NFC one more time, but like this isn't a good NFL right now. The Cowboys feel like they're just a healthier Dak Prescott from being. Right? I mean, that feels right to me.
I'm looking up the FPI, the Football Power Index, to see what the thought is for the Dallas Cowboys
look
and the Bears.
Look at you with the analytics.
Well,
usually,
I mean,
look
at the NFC, though, Cap. The NFC is awful outside of the Eagles. The second best record belongs to the New York Giants at 6-1. I don't think any of us think the Giants are a Super Bowl contender despite the 6-1 start. Dallas might be the second best team in that conference.
Okay, so FPI, the Bears and Cowboys. I can't find it, and I will do that at the break unless Shea can find. I'm going to guess FPI gives the Cowboys an 80% chance of winning that game. 80.
That sounds right. And I'm with Space, too. Like, I agree with what he's talking about, watching a Bears coaching staff actually change, adapt, and work a scheme that works for everybody was a huge breath of fresh air. if it doesn't happen against the Cowboys, if that defense makes it impossible to do anything, I kind of have to shrug my shoulders. I wish the schedule looked different for the Bears, because I'd love to see week after week them be able to build on that. I don't think it's going to happen against the Cowboys, and I'm not going to cry about it if it doesn't, because that team, that defense is much more talented than the Bears have on offense. It's just much, much better.
All right, MPI has Dallas 85.1% to
win. Okay, there you go. 85.1. All right, more of your calls on the Bears. Hang in there, Mark and Dan and all the rest of you. Our favorite segment, though, is coming up in 2 minutes. It's called Shot or No Shot on ESPN 1000.